97.5, The Fanatic.
Pleasant Thursday evening to you and yours. Hope you're staying safe, happy, and healthy. And welcome into 97.5 The Fanatic. And in the crease, more specifically, Tyler Zuehly, Tom Albert, as we fill in for Devon Givens. We're here for the next 90 minutes or so. We'll take you until midnight as we come off hot off the 3-2 Flyers loss over the to the Boston Bruins for their sixth consecutive loss so far on this very up and down roller coaster type season. The downs, the valleys, if you will, have been bleak. Now the highs have been high at times. A 5-0-1 stretch at one point, not so far in the past. However, the valleys have been very, very low and very, very bleak at times, and it continued again today. 610-632-0975 is the number to join us in the crease tonight as we react to this Boston Bruins victory over the Flyers, 3-2 from the Garden, the sixth consecutive loss for the Flyers. Get into the Eagles in a little bit as well, but have to start here tonight as we are in the crease. 90 minutes to do this, a lot to get into. Why don't we jump right into things? You've heard this phrase many times. It's been uttered out of my mouth many times. You heard the guys on the postgame show, Jason Mertedis and Brian Smith, talk about this phrase. Steve Coach used it in the wrap-up of the game tonight on the radio side of the broadcast. This phrase holds no water for me. This phrase means absolutely nothing to me, and the phrase is moral victory. I don't buy them. I think moral victories are foolish when it comes to sports. Because the moral victory, while it may give you some sort of uplift in the locker room, I don't really think it does. I could come on these airwaves and say, man, the Flyers really gave it their all in the third period, and you could see the fight. And Mike Yeo pulls Carter Hart with 3 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the third period. And other than a couple of icings and the final possession at the end of the game, the Flyers played the final 400 seconds, basically, or 300 seconds in the Boston third. They were aggressive. They peppered Tuukka Rask in his first start back in over 200 days. And you could say all of those things, and all of those things would be true. But you know what the problem about all of those things, even if they are true in theory, are? They result in nothing. And that's why, to me, moral victories don't mean a darn thing when it comes to losses. Like tonight, where you go down early 2-0. You give up an early goal in the first period. You give up a second goal in the first period. Then you fight back. You get the tip goal by Cam Atkinson. You get the Joel Farabee goal. Where, by the way, man, he is starting to look like a presence for this team. We talked about, somebody asked me the other day about untouchables in a trade, and I didn't initially put him in there. You did, Tom. And then Tom Albert, by the way, producing the show Across the Glass. Tom did. And you watch what he has done consistently this year, and he is becoming more and more of an important piece to this team. You tie the game quickly at 2-2, and then immediately, or what feels like immediately, give up the hat trick goal to Pasternak. And it's 3-2. And all the wind that you put in your sails has evaporated. And all of the sudden, once again, you're playing from behind, which when you play the Boston Bruins, and yes, I know they started the season slow, but they're now 21-11-2 and are in that second wild card spot despite being 3-4 games back of everybody else in the Eastern Conference. When you're playing from behind against the Boston Bruins, as they had done for the better for all of the first period effectively, for a better part of the second period, and all of the third period, you put yourself at a disadvantage. Because this team is fundamentally sound. Even with a guy making his first start in over 200 days, they were fundamentally sound. And so these moral victories really don't mean a darn thing to me when you lose yet again to the Boston Bruins at the Garden where they are now, what was the number that Jason gave us? 13-0-4, I believe it is, against the Flyers in their last 17 games, which means the Flyers have not won a regulation game in Boston in 17 tries. Now, I'm a big believer. This has been a stance that I've been willing to sit on for a long time, but I'm a big believer that you should not get an overtime loss point. Because in no other sport, well, maybe soccer, you get the tie point, but in no other sport do you go to an overtime period. Let's say you go to extra innings in baseball. Whether you play 10, 15, 30, it doesn't matter. There's a winner and a loser. And that loser doesn't get a half a win in the standings. The best you can do in the NFL is a regular season tie. In the NBA, it could go on for an infinite amount of time, just like Major League Baseball could. I don't believe in the overtime loss point. But my point about this being is that out of a potential, 42 points that you could generate in 21 games, the Flyers have four. No, sorry, I'm sorry. The Flyers have eight. I apologize. 8 points. And every single one of them are in overtime. Now, a win is a win no matter how you get it. But this team has been outmatched and outclassed by the Boston Bruins for the last 17 games now at the Garden. And before we go any further, I feel almost apathetic. I'm a little bit upset about how this game progressed today because I'm sitting in the studio. Tom's two glasses across from me. I'm training with Mike Vito, trying to get him up and running on the board. And Mike and I are chatting about this game. And the Zach MacEwen fight, whether you like fights or not, the Zach MacEwen fight seemed to stem the tide a little bit for the Flyers and change direction in their favor. And again, you get those two goals. You get the Atkinson tip, you get the Farabee goal, and all of a sudden it's a brand new hockey game. And then moments later, Pastrnak scores his hat trick goal in the power play. Joel Farabee scored with 5 minutes remaining in the second period. Pastrnak scored with 3:15. You had tied the game for 105 seconds. All the momentum that you took gave you 105 seconds of new life. And then you were right back to playing from behind. 610-632-0975. Now, I know Rusty wants to get into the Flyers. John wants to get into the Eagles. You can get into whatever you like. We've got an hour and 15 minutes to do so. At 11:15 or so, we're going to give our picks. Obviously, we picked the games straight up the other day. But it would be irresponsible for us not to do the first round against the spread. May even have a guest picker in this one. I'll let you know. We're going to get in contact with them at about a half an hour's time. And then, of course, the leftovers at 11:45. 610-632-0975. Before we get to John and Rusty, I need to lay something out. Because we talked about this ad nauseum. And I feel like I'm doing one of these. Banging my head against this microphone. Because we talked about this for a long, extended period of time. Tom and I did. With nobody else. And you, of course. Talked about this Tuesday night. How this defense is costing Carter Hart opportunities. And how I have an issue with Keith Yandel still playing. I don't care about the Iron Man streak. I think he's been ineffective at best. And how they are putting Carter Hart in dangerous positions to fail. And while I think the world of some of the other goaltenders in this division, Igor Shesterkin being the big one, but Sorokin as well. I think Blackwood's got value. Tristan Jarry has been really, really good this season. The theme amongst Shesterkin and Sorokin and Tristan Jarry, all three of which are the back end, the netminders for teams with more points than the Philadelphia Flyers, by the way, by a lot. 14 for Pittsburgh, 16 for Washington, 17 for the New York Rangers. Yes, the goals against are a much lopsided, much more lopsided number for those three goaltenders. But the common theme amongst those three teams that is not relevant or pressing or prevalent at all with the Philadelphia Flyers is defensive help of their goaltender. Carter Hart is being left out to dry. You notice a common theme amongst my conversations over the last 24 hours. Carter Hart's being left out to dry. Joel Embiid is being left out to dry. These guys who are trying to continue to build and grow on their young careers need help. Embiid needs scoring help. Carter Hart needs defensive help. And again, we talked about it a lot on Tuesday. I know that the Flyers did what they thought was the right move by acquiring Rasmus Ristolainen and acquiring Ryan Ellis and even bringing in Keith Yandel. And I will never fault a team for trying to better themselves. So the moves that they made, I don't fault them for. Now, granted, they have not worked for the most part to this point because Ryan Ellis has been injured and Keith Yandel has nothing left to give. But the product that is currently on the ice for the Flyers is not helping Carter Hart at all. I don't know if you saw the save tonight that he made in particular, where he was sprawled out on his belly, made a save. I don't know what kind of core muscle he activated, but was able to get up off the ice and make a glove save and keep it from not just hitting off his glove, it would have gone in the net. Not going over his glove, it would have gone in the net. Some of this, that save that he made tonight, the athletic ability that he showed on that one save, plus what I believe to be, even though his defense has kind of hung him out to dry, what I still believe to be pristine setup, if you will. I think his vision is still really strong. And I think his positioning is really, really strong in the net. He is not getting any help from his defense whatsoever. So tonight, as we go in the crease, we start with two things. One, I'm done with the moral victory. I've been out on it for a long time. But tonight, I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that they fought hard in the third period. I don't want to hear that they battled back midway through the second and tied the game at two. Because at the end of the day, they got no points. Again. And the second thing is, how does this team help Carter Hart? 610-632-0975. Rusty in Boston is up first in the Fanatic. What's up, Rusty?
Well, first of all, good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it. I appreciate it.
Before I get to my call, I am a 14-year season ticket holder to the Bruins, but I'm a Flyers fan first.
Okay.
I don't know what game you were watching tonight, but Carter Hart blew that first shot. Wasn't even paying attention. And you know what kills me? The officiating, and you forgot to mention the third goal for Pastrnak was a 5-on-3.
Don't care about officiating.
That one. That first one, there wasn't even a call for that.
Do not care about officiating.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Flyers have no heart. They have no defense. Where's your captain, Claude Drew? Does nothing when he comes up here to Boston. Nothing as usual. And what happened tonight? Nothing.
What do you want from Claude Drew?
You know what I want? I want a full team effort, what was supposed to happen tonight.
They played horribly tonight. Like, I agree, the second period they showed some life, but other than that, they didn't play very well. But what do you want from Claude Giroux?
Let me tell you something. I look forward to this game every year. It's the one game I circle that I take one of my best buddies with, and I go to see a great game. And you know what? It's the same time. Every single time they come up here, they fold. They sit around. They pass the puck. They take the shot. It gets hit in someone's sticks. It skates. You know what? They had the last 3 minutes, they had a couple of deflections, and they had the break. You forgot to mention the breakaways. Darby had a great breakaway. Rask stopped it. And, you know, it's the Bruins, and you guys are so happy on the Bruins. The Bruins have one of the most overrated defenses in the National Hockey League.
I didn't mention their defense one time.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to mention it. The Boston Bruins are one of the most overrated teams in the National Hockey League, and I can say this. They don't even deserve to be in the playoffs. The only reason, I mean, I can say this right now. The NHL wants the Bruins in the playoffs. I'll leave it at that. but I am so ticked off about the lack of effort. And then we sit there. Oh, Katori didn't play. All right, Ristolano's out. I'm like, that's nice. So that's another part. There's no other plan B here. And it's just, you throw the same crap every time they come up here. Giroux does. You have to put in an effort every game. Even if you don't want it, you pretend you fake it to do something. Instead, you just sit there. Everyone just goes.
I don't disagree that something needs to happen. We talked about it on Tuesday. You know, how many untouchables?
Mike Yeo and everyone. I would have fired the entire coaching staff at the end of the first period.
Well, they've already fired. But Rusty, they've already fired their head coach. What else do you want them to do?
You know what you do? You have to come up with something. This is a multi-billion-dollar franchise, like every other team that blows right now. You represent a team that people really care about, and you say you're going to let it sit there and languish and say, "Oh, we tried, but we blew it again." I'm like, you didn't. Every time they come up here, they blow it. There's no heart up here. It drives me crazy. I keep telling my buddy, why do I do this to myself? It's the one game that I look forward to. Even my friends who work for the Bruins give me a great time. They love before the game tonight, and what happens? They lay another egg. And it's like, well, I can't say Katori is out. They're just not out. But you know what? It's ridiculous. You know, and I'm going to say this right. The Boston Bruins are nothing. You take away those two soaps, and guess what? And Pasternak, the 61 plus.
So you take away their two best players, and they're not as good. Rusty, thanks for the call, man. That's how every sports organization ever would operate. Man, if you would have taken away Ruth and Gehrig, that 27 Yankees team wouldn't have been as good. What? Okay, do I overrate this Boston team a little bit? It's possible. They've played really well recently. You know, like I said, I don't buy into the overtime loss. So they're 21-11-2. In my eyes, they're 21-13. That means they're still 8 games over 500 through 35 games of play. They've played less games than every team in the Metropolitan Division. Other than the New York Islanders, who have been ravaged by COVID, they have played less games than every team in the Atlantic Division, except for the Ottawa Senators, who have 20 points in 29 games. They're not any good. If it weren't for the Montreal Canadiens, they'd be the worst team in the Eastern Conference. But like if you took away Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, if you took away Crosby and Malkin, if you took away Stamkos and Kucherov, if you took away, you know, you name it, right? Like, we could play this game all you want. Huberto and Barkov. You could play this game for literally every team in the NHL. You could play this game for literally any sports team ever. If you take away their two best players, they're not that good, or they're not as good. That's why they're their two best players. How many teams run four lines deep of second lines? And what I mean by that is, do you remember when the Vegas Knights came into the league and they were four lines deep because everybody was just like shoveling off second liners to them for like nothing? Because the expansion draft was a mess that year, and they were just giving away second line guys because they were making too much money to be on a second line. Other than that one particular team, and maybe 2 years ago, New York Islanders, when they had four really good lines, who's running four lines deep of players that shouldn't be on the fourth line? Literally no one, especially with COVID. I don't disagree with Rusty that they put in a lackluster performance tonight. I would co-sign that statement because I think other than the five-minute spurt where they did score twice, it was a lackluster performance. They left Carter Hart out to dry. Do they not show up when they go to the Garden? Clearly. They're 0-13-4 or 4-13-0, whatever, however you want to put that. They've won four times in 17 games in the Garden. So, yes, obviously, they haven't played well at the Garden. I'm not defending them tonight. I thought I was pretty angry at the way they played tonight. I thought my opening statements made it sound that way, but apparently not. Whew, we need a break. 610-632-0975. Going to continue the Flyers conversation on the other side, get into the Eagles conversation as well. We will make our picks at 11:15, and then at 11:45, we have the leftovers with Tom Alvord and myself, Tyler Zuli. We're in the crease. We fill in for Devon Gibbons. We've got you for another hour right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is in the crease. I'm Tyler Zuli, Tom Albert across the glass. Get the leftovers from him at 11:45. We fill in for Devon Gibbons. 610-632-0975. In about 7 minutes' time, we are going to give you what Tom likes to put in quotations when we do the NFL Roundup show. It's a it's an emoji, but he puts it in quotations. The locks of week one of the NFL playoffs. You know what's funny, too? Ever since I started self-deprecating jokes about our selections, we did really, really well down the stretch.
Yeah, we did. We were like, what was it, 9-3 the one week?
We were like every week going right about 60 to 65% between the three of us.
Yeah, man. We had a good little stretch there. I had to take away the quotations the one week. I was thinking about it.
You don't do that.
I didn't do it.
Don't
I was
do
thinking
that.
About
because
it.
You know if you do that, we're going to go 0-12,
yeah, exactly.
0-18 with our guest selector this week, who we have confirmed.
I'm excited.
We'll be here.
I don't know who it is, so
we're
I'm excited.
We're going to talk to our guest selector in about 6 minutes' time. 610-632-0975, the number to join the conversation. Before we get to that, just want to put a bow on this Flyers talk. And by the way, even though we are going to transition to some NFL picks and some Eagles conversation, if you want to get in on the Flyers talk, a 3-2 loss last night, it felt like it was last night, about a half
about
an hour
minutes,
ago.
Yeah, yeah.
After that conversation that I had, it felt like it was a day ago. About a half an hour ago, to the Boston Bruins, they fall 3-2 and now have lost six consecutive games and are just 3-4-3 in their last 10, meaning out of their last 10 games, they've only secured 3 points and are now tied with the New Jersey Devils for second to last in the Atlantic Division. Now, before we get to our special selector for these games, Tom, just want to get your quick thoughts on tonight's game because I gave you mine. Seemed like Rusty was none too thrilled with my defensive Carter Hart. However, your thoughts tonight in this 3-2 loss to the Boston Bruins.
So I'll start with the good. Carter Hart was good tonight. Yeah, he struggled early.
Well, the first goal was on him.
I
believe that to be true. I'm not going to totally absolve
sure. And that can't happen against a division rival that early in the game. And he's still a young goalie, but there's no excuse. That can't happen.
Atlantic division. Other division. But rival nonetheless.
Sorry. A rival,
yes.
Yeah. The Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers are rivals. However, can't happen. Inexcusable. Whatever. He started, I believe it was 2-for-7. So 2 goals allowed on 7 shots. I thought it was a game where he's getting pulled early. I saw those 2 goals go
in. Felt that way,
didn't I'm like,
it?
All right, he's out. This has had like one more goal and he's done. There's going to be a goal in the next 5 minutes and he's out. He bounced back really well. 33 saves on 36 shots tonight. He kept him in the game. He did. Another good. Cam Atkinson, 1 goal, 1 assist. You know, you can say what you want about the deals made over the past offseason. I think Cam Atkinson's been a really solid move for this team. Sure, would you like to see more from the offense in general? Yeah, but 1 goal, 1 assist tonight for Atkinson. I'll give him that. The other good, I guess, would be this is a game where sitting here doing highlights, they go down 2-0. I'm expecting a 7-0 loss, 7-1 loss. And I'm not in the moral victory category for the Flyers tonight. I have no interest in that. This team's bad. This team needs wins. This team needs to turn things around. However, it could have folded horribly, and this could have been another blowout. So I'll give him a little bit of credit for that. That's pretty much all the good that I have. Am I missing anything?
I don't think you're particularly missing anything tonight. The play that I was referring to before Rusty decided that Carter Hart's the worst goaltender in the history of America was Jake DeBrusk had the puck below the net behind Carter Hart, who had to shift. And I'm like, wow, I'm like freeze framing this play because it's in like GIF form, who had to shift from his right to his left while maintaining contact with the puck or eye contact with the puck because it was behind his net. I'm watching this play develop. There are three Flyers who are trailing the play because, no surprise, the defense looked to be out of position.
They're out of position.
They're out of position, right? And as I freeze frame this, DeBrusk, with the wraparound attempt, Hart does the right thing. Now, granted, you're listening to somebody who knows the basics about goaltending. If you want to get the breakdown, we'll have to talk to Jason about this particular play at a later date and time. But Hart does the right thing. The left skate is pressed up against the pad, so there's not going to be the low underneath the pad wraparound attempt. So DeBrusk fires it in on net, or fires it, I guess, into the crease area, looking for maybe a redirection, a rebound, whatever the case may be. This puck finds its way to the stick of, oh man, I can't see who this is. I forget exactly who it is. I want to say, I'm trying to find the line rushes tonight for the Bruins to see if I could maybe put it together, because I forget exactly who this was. So obviously it was, and again, it could be a different player, but my assumption maybe is it's Charlie Coyle or Oscar Steen, just because that was who his line mates were tonight. But again, it could be different just because it could be an odd man rush, somebody getting on the ice, somebody getting on, whatever the case may be. However, I'm watching Ivan Provorov out of position, and I see three Flyers defender or three Flyers players in front of the net, but whomever received this pass from Jake DeBrusk has these guys in a ideal position for a shooter in the slot, one-on-one basically with Carter Hart, because there are high sticks. However, there's not a defender in the lane to block the shot. Carter Hart makes the initial save. He then gets topped down because I think it might be McEwen, falls on top of him. Puck gets scrambled. Whoever that player was that took the initial shot, and I apologize, I got to go back and try to find this frame, ends up finding DeBrusk at the low point by himself, right at the red line. Carter Hart is basically a slide away from the dotted circle. Ivan Provorov is sprawled out in the crease. There's nobody in the net, and Carter Hart dives back to his left and makes a glove save. That was a really bad reenactment on my part of what that play was, but to the point where it is a development of the play is a total disaster, and Carter Hart made the save.
Yeah.
Those saves he's not making last year against Boston if they go down 2-0. That makes it 3-0.
Sure, 100%. And that leads me to the bad. Gave you the good. I'll give you the bad. Defense is awful.
Again.
When someone asks a Flyers player what position they play and they're a defenseman, they should just say out of position. On the back of their hockey card.
Play for the Flyers.
It should say out of position. They're terrible. And you're leaving Hart out to dry. He had that 36 saves tonight. Just completely let this team out to dry and put you in a bad advantage all night. Power play. 1-for-7. They had a 5-on-3. Couldn't connect late in that game. They're bottom 4th in the league in both power play goals. Power play percentage. It's just, this team has no direction. It seems like this team has no fight at times. And it's really frustrating to watch as a Philadelphia Flyers fan.
And while we get ready to get our mystery guest selector on the line, one more thing tonight. This comes from this tweet here, because I want to give credit, comes from Ryan Boyd, who tweets the numbers for Carter Hart. Between this season and his career record, obviously these are attainable, but I'm going to give him credit because I'm reading his tweet here. 7-10-4 this season going into the game that was, with a 2.9 goals against and a 9.12 save percentage. Pair that, those two numbers, the 2.92 should not be in the same sentence as the 9.12 save percentage. The 9.12 save percentage is way too high for a 2.92 goals against average, nearly a 3 goals against average. Pair that against the 4-4-2 record he has against the Boston Bruins, with a 3.74 goals allowed against average and an 8.79 save percentage. that save percentage is kind of in line with what you would expect 374 to be. 912 is too great to have a 292 near three goals against number. Carter Hart was really good tonight after the first two goals that he allowed. And like Tom said, there's a chance that this thing could have ballooned out of hand, and it didn't. So credit there at least. All right. Our mystery guest selector is on the line. If you haven't figured out who it was,
I'm excited to find
just
out.
Yet, I have to give you, I'll give you a little bit of a tease. This man and I have made selections many, many times this season, but because of scheduling conflicts, because of Sixers games, because of Flyers games, because of the holidays, we've not made picks since week 15 of the NFL season. And Tom, if you cue up that music, we go to the Comcast Business Hotline, and we talk to our main man, Devon Givens. He is back. Devon, it is great to talk to you, my friend.
And has it been that long that we've made
week
this
week 15? Week 15, Devon.
Man.
And we made six picks to catch up that week.
Wow. Okay, let's do it, man.
All right, you know how this works. You know how this works. By the way, I'll give everybody our records heading into the playoffs with that week 15 being the last selection. Devon, in week 15, you went 4-2. I went 3-3. So right now, you on the season, missing some weeks, of course, are 25-11 heading into the playoffs. Myself, I go into the playoffs at 22-14. Not too bad for either of us.
And we bet none of these on DraftKings or any of this.
And you remember too how hot of a start we had at the beginning of the year, where you and I were both you were 11-4 and I was 10-5. We should have taken advantage of that.
Yeah, we should have, especially with the holidays, your wedding, all that stuff. We would have made some good money.
We might be back in St. Lucia at that point, but let's get to some of these games. We're going to get to all six. So for Tom, who is not with us but is joining us today, he's going to make the selections as well. We start with the 4:30 Saturday afternoon game. It is the Vegas Raiders and the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's only fair, Devon, we let the new guy go first. Connor Thomas filled in one time earlier in the week or early in the season, and he gave us a 1-2 record. So, Tom, you got to give us something a little bit better than that.
Okay, a lot of pressure. I'll try my best. Raiders at Bengals. The line is -5 for the Bengals. So obviously the Raiders are a +5 underdog. Tyler and I know we differ on this game.
We do.
To me, I think the Raiders Super Bowl was getting into the playoffs. I really do. And I love Joe Burrow. The Cincinnati Bengals offense is just rolling right now. So many weapons. Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, ho-hum. Joe Burrow, obviously. I'm taking the Bengals -5. They finally get a playoff win in Cincinnati. I think they win by more than a touchdown. I'm liking the -5 here.
First playoff win since the text message was formed. Somebody will be able to send a text and say, hey, the Bengals won a playoff game. Devon, do you agree with Tom? You going in the other direction?
Yeah, so you know that the Bengals have been one of my favorite teams to bet or with all season long, and I'm going to keep it going to start this one off with that -5. Raiders feeling good, as Tom mentioned, about themselves sneaking into the playoffs. They needed their own help. They got it, and then they punched their ticket. But the Bengals, the way they've been playing, the fact that this young team, yes, there are expectations now, but how big are they? And they are still looked at as being somewhat of as an underdog, a team that, yeah, it's cute and all of that stuff. Again, it's a sexy thing, but are they really going to do anything about it? And I think they want to make a point once they get in there, because, of course, we don't know what's going to happen afterwards. So right now, I'm riding with Tom on this one, and I am going Bengals with that -5.
All right, let's see what happens in this one. I'm going, because I believe, in fact, I wish that I could, but we go against the spread in this format. So I'm going to take the Vegas Raiders in this one. I just feel that there's the Bengals, even though they are the better team, are still a year away from competition. The offense has been really good. The defense has been up and down at times this season. Really good at spurts, really poor in spurts. And I know Joe Burrow. I know you both love Joe Burrow and how he's progressed as a quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase probably in the rookie of the year contention, but I don't know. There seems to be something weird happening in Vegas. Ever since Bisacci has taken over as the interim head coach, he becomes the first interim head coach to ever take his team to the playoffs. That Daniel Carlson field goal, maybe a little bit of, I don't know, magic or something for this Raiders team. I think the Raiders win this game outright, but I'm definitely going to take the Raiders at +5.
Okay. All right.
All right, we move on to the 8:15 game. It's going to be one of the coldest games in playoff history, or at least that's what they say, as we go to Orchard Park just outside of the city limits of Buffalo, as it is a third consecutive third game, between these AFC East rivals, the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. This time, Devon, we'll start with you. The line is 4 in favor of the Bills.
The line is 4, and the last time these two teams met, Buffalo repaid New England for the job that they did to them previously. So with this one, at home, rookie quarterback going into Buffalo, and you know they're going to try to do a similar game plan and try to run the ball, especially with the weather being what it is. Belichick, McDaniels, they know how this all works. But with that being said, Buffalo snapping back into form of who we thought they would be rolling into the postseason, I think this is a number that they can easily cover against this Patriots team. It's just not their year, in my opinion. A young quarterback going in there. And yes, they are getting people back like Aguilar and a few of the other names that they haven't had or as far as their weapons go. I think Buffalo covers this number as well with the 4.
Tom, you making it 3 for 3? I just gave my pick away, but you making it 3 for 3?
I am not. No, I was confused by that. I'm not, actually. And I, as you know, if you had been listening a couple days ago, I picked the Bills to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. However, I think for this game, because of the weather conditions, what is it going to be, minus 15 or something like
gross.
That?
Just
crazy
gross.
Win. This reminds me of, what, week 10 it was when they played the first time this season, and it ended up being the game that Mac Jones threw the ball 3 times. Now, I don't think it's going to be to that extreme, but I do think this is going to be a close, low-scoring, hard-fought game. I think the Bills are still ticked off about that early season loss. Even though they got the revenge later, I still think they're ticked off. I do like the Patriots plus 4. I think it's going to be, like I said, low scoring, sloppy, but the Bills find a way to get it. Patriots hang tight.
I gave my pick away, but I am taking the Bills minus 4 as well, Devon, just because I feel like Josh Allen, if Tom, you believe that this is his year, he's going to have to prove at some point that he can play in the cold. It kind of comes with the territory of playing in Buffalo, especially late in the season. This team, I think, is going to look to get past New England as quickly as they possibly can to start thinking about Kansas City. Now, don't do that to a detriment where you're looking ahead, but I think if you can dispatch of New England early, I'm not sure Mac Jones is ready quite yet. I am going to take the Bills at minus 4. All right, let's move on to Sunday. 3-game Sunday, 1 more Monday. Of course, this one cuts home because the line continues to grow. It is at Raymond James Stadium, as the Eagles are the second highest dog of the weekend, 9.5-point underdogs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at minus 9.5. And I will start on this one. I have gone on the record and said that I think that the Eagles are going to lose this game. I initially said 30-20. However, I think with what is supposed to shape up to be some ugly weather in this one, 9.5, you give me almost 10 points, I'm generally going to take it. And again, I don't think the Eagles win this one, but I do think they keep it under 10. So I will take the Eagles at plus 9.5.
Yeah, I have pretty much the same feeling as you, Ty. I think this is going to be a closer game than obviously Vegas thinks, closer game than a lot of the national media may think. Listen, the Eagles are a completely different team from the last time these two teams faced off. You have Lane Johnson back, wasn't there the first game. Jordan Mailata was at right tackle. He's now in his natural left tackle position. Jalen Hurts is a completely different quarterback than he was 10 weeks ago, night and day. That being said, it's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I do think, as of right now, that they pull this game out. But yeah, you're getting almost 10 points here. I like the Eagles plus 9.5.
And let's not forget about the run game that wasn't there the first time these two teams met, and we will get a chance to see that this weekend, especially with the weather being what it is. Might have to lean on it a little bit more. Tampa's run defense has not been the same since they lost Levante David as well. So I'll wait for more as far as the numbers go, as far as my predictions for pregame this weekend. But I will say that 9.5 number, I lean right now more towards the cover for the Birds.
Yes, and good news, of course, obviously don't want to give it away too much, Devon, but we will hear you back on the pregame show this weekend. Very much looking forward to hearing you and Deegan with a playoff edition of the Eagles, the Fanatic Eagles pregame show. Let's go to the 4:30 game. This one has been one of the weirder bet games this week so far, as the 6-seed San Francisco 49ers are 3.5-point dogs to the Dallas Cowboys at home, the NFC East Division champion Dallas Cowboys. Tom, we have rotated back to you. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, and I know we differ on this game as well. I'm going San Fran here. I really like them. I think they're going to win this game outright, actually. So if I'm getting plus 3.5 points, I like it. Look, Dallas, I know you don't agree. Dallas is going to Dallas to me. It's going to be the same thing. A ton of expectations going into these playoffs. I think San Francisco run game has been rolling lately. Obviously, you throw Deebo Samuel in there, who has 9 rushing touchdowns as a wide receiver. George Kittle, the defense is always solid when it comes to San Francisco. They've been playing better as of late. I like San Francisco plus 3.5 here.
All right, well, I'm going to jump right in, guys, and I'm going to go with Dallas as well, Ty, because I look at this one, everyone, for the same reasons that Tom is there, which are valid reasons, and the way Garoppolo has been playing quarterback when he's in there, and even though he's dealing with the issue with the hand, I still look at it and I say that Dallas is just simply a better football team. The number is not huge, but when I look at this one, I am going to lean Dallas and say that they beat this team maybe by 6, maybe by 7, whatever it is. It's going to be more than that 3.5.
Yeah, I'm fading the public on this one too. And in some spots, you can get it down to as many as 3. However, I think that the consensus actually is 54% on the San Francisco 49ers to cover the 3 or the 3.5. I think Dallas, just as you made mention, has way too many weapons in this one. And I do think that Dallas may even win an additional playoff game this playoff season and maybe even get to the NFC Championship game. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys minus 3.5 in this one as well. 2 more games, the Sunday night game. The Pittsburgh Steelers get in by the luck of the field goal of the leg of Daniel Carlson that puts them and the Vegas Raiders in. The LA Chargers out. They'll take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The largest line of the weekend, the Chiefs minus 12.5 in this one. And I know where Tom's going, and I am following suit on this. I know it's a large line. Devon, you've heard me say many, many times, you give me almost 2 touchdowns, I'm going to take it. In this instance, I am not going to take it. I think the Kansas City Chiefs roll. They roll early and they roll often. I will take the Chiefs in this one big, minus 12.5.
I agree. We can make this one real fast. I agree. They smack this team. Pittsburgh has no business being there. Kansas City smacks this team.
I said it earlier. The line could be 20.5, and I would still take it. And I'm not kidding. They are going to win by 3 touchdowns plus.
Well, not big enough.
Nice and easy there, guys. Our first clean sweep in this one. Other than maybe the Eagles, we'll have to wait for Sunday to get Devon's final prediction. But we go to the Monday night game. Monday night football for the first time in the playoffs in a long time. Another divisional matchup, the Arizona Cardinals, the LA Rams. The Rams, the division winners. The Cardinals falter down the stretch, and they are the wild card at the 5 seed. This one is minus 4 for the LA Rams. This is going to be an interesting one. I know that there's a lot of different thoughts in this game. Cardinals maybe steal it. Rams big. Cardinals big. And my thought process on this one, Devon and Tom, is whoever wins this game, I think wins this game big. And I don't mean by 21, but I do mean by probably 8 to 11 points. And with the line being 4, I've got to take the team that I think is going to win it. And I think it's the LA Rams. I'm going to go with the Rams minus 4 at home to not only cover, but win this game pretty comfortably.
Yep, so do I. I have this one as well. These two teams are really weird. Kyler Murray up and down, of course, with the injury and all. They beat Dallas and coming back. It's just this game is really, really weird, and they play for the 3rd time this season. Stafford not playing all that great down the stretch. Are you now Jalen Ramsey getting into little things with his teammates? But that being said, back at it one more time. You got the best wide receiver in the game right now. He'll find ways to help this team win. Odell Beckham Jr. playing well. And you also go out there and make moves for Von Miller for stuff like this. I'm taking the Rams in this one as well.
I am going against the grain. Like you said, Devon, these two teams are weird. But there is a ton of weapons on both sides of the ball. Obviously, no DeAndre Hopkins the last couple of weeks, and I don't believe he's going to play in this game. I haven't looked at the report. I just have a feeling that the Cardinals get this one done. I have a feeling that there's going to be a late interception thrown by Matthew Stafford, and it's going against the grain. As I mentioned, 1-4 the Cardinals are in their last 5 games. 5-1 the Rams are in their last 6. Just one of those weird feelings. It's obviously their 3rd time meeting up, so I like the Cardinals here plus 4.
All right, well, there you have it. We have a couple of different selections. Big thank you to not just Tom Alvord for producing the show today, but to also to Devon Givens for joining us. And Devon, you want to tell the people when you're back?
I'll be back tomorrow.
Love draft to hear.
Lines. Yes, back tomorrow, draft lines, 6 o'clock, and we have 76ers at 7 o'clock, so I look forward to being back.
Devon, looking forward to having you back. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, I know you've tweeted this out a couple times. Going to give you and the family a little bit of a plug before you go. Get Mikal Bridges in the All-Star game. The kid deserves it.
Yeah, no doubt. Today was the third installment of the double vote.
Yes.
So, been trying to get the double vote out there. Hashtag NBA All-Star and hashtag your favorite player. In this case, of course, hashtag Mikal Bridges. From the Phoenix Suns. I think he does deserve it. And when you're a top team, you typically get 2, 3, sometimes 4. And they're pushing the 4 with Paul Booker, Ayton, and Mikal. And Golden State is going to get 2 or 3. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be, a lot of work needs to be done because there's a lot of competition for those 12 spots out west. Like I've said, he's done his job. And the coaches will ultimately make their decisions. But they give us the chance to also help out. So, of course, naturally, I'm trying to help out my cousin.
Of course.
Do my part.
We will do the same.
Thank you.
Devon, great to catch up with you. Very much looking forward to seeing you back in the building tomorrow. And thanks for joining us late on In the Crease.
No doubt. Tom, thanks, man. See you guys later.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, Devon. That is, of course, our man Devon Givens on the Comcast Business Hotline. One final segment to go before we shut things down for the evening. We'll give you a recap of our picks. Tom will put it up on Twitter as well for you to make fun of or hopefully maybe win some money. 610-632-0975, Tom Alvord, Tyler Zuli. That was Devon Givens. We'll be back. One final segment right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One final segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic before we shut things down for the evening. I'm Tyler Zuli. We're in for Devon Givens, who you just heard give his picks. He'll be back tomorrow for the Draftline Show with Jamie Lynch, which will lead you into Sixers basketball against the Boston Celtics.
Will Jamie Lynch be there?
Oh, you know what? No. He will not.
Unless they do an access.
No, I actually think it may,
Friday
just,
night from Tampa.
It may just be Devon.
Just thought of that.
Yes, I didn't even think about that because the morning show guys are in Tampa right now. I think they've landed, and Buzz Lightyear backpack Pat Egan made the trip. Did you see that picture that Jamie took?
Yeah, I see it every damn day when he walks into
I
here.
I think it's such a great backpack.
Really?
Do you know why I think it's a... Well, first of all, you know I'm a big Disney guy, right?
And
Second of all, I think it's very awesome that Pat has like zero cares in the world about that backpack. Because he's just like, you know what? I like it. And I'm going to rock it. And I'm going to wear my Buzz Lightyear backpack. And I'm going to eat my Cinnamon Toast Crunch out of the box. And I'm just going to do me because it makes him happy. I give him a lot of credit for that.
Oh, I respect it. Absolutely.
Because there's times where you are just, you're always thinking about what do other people think about me. Right? Like, that's just the nature of being a human being.
Yeah.
Pat does not.
Yeah, and you got to respect it. He's a who cares mentality.
610-632-0975.
You don't have to, but I do.
So, you know how on Twitter, we're going to get to Josh in just a second. We've got the leftovers in about 8 minutes. Do you know how on Twitter, on the side, there's the, like, what's happening? And you can see what's trending on Twitter in the world, in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, in the United States. There's, the third thing down trending on my Twitter right now, and I'm not sure how this gets put together, but the third thing down trending on my Twitter right now is Logan Paul. And if I could just never see his face or hear his name again, I would be so happy.
Yeah, I'd be fine. Either of the Paul brothers.
I don't need to see either of them anymore. Like, I'm tired of this. Like, I don't know how they got famous, but I don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And annoying to see. And I get how they're famous, I guess. They had the YouTube videos and it was probably a younger audience, but the fact that they're still famous, and I know the one Paul does the boxing and stuff. I don't know how you watch these guys.
Nope.
Pay attention.
I'm out.
Whatever. I don't understand.
Big time out. 610-632-0975. Let's get to Josh in Lower Merion before we get out of here for the evening. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, man?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I actually called maybe like an hour ago. My phone died, so I may have had a lapse in the conversation. But it's so funny because I was going to kind of call to say I was a little bit out on Yandel. But, dude, I am so out on the Paul brothers.
And it's funny because, so out, right?
Dude, you know what the funny thing is like right now at 11:38 at night, two Philly fans are talking about these idiots.
Right.
And they're getting whatever they want.
Exactly what they want, because I saw it on Twitter.
It's so bad, because all I want is for someone to, you know, actually get a real boxing match with one of these guys and beat the crap out of them, right? But all that we do is we keep talking about him, and the more money he makes, the angrier we get.
Right.
It just keeps going. It's like a never-ending
sure.
cycle. It's hard, man.
There was somebody who tweeted, I forget exactly who it was, but it was somebody in sports that I don't like, and I forget who it was. It was a couple days ago. And they tweeted something, and I'm like, don't retweet this, don't retweet this, don't retweet. Like, because, you know, like you quote tweet, and you're like, oh, this is the worst take ever, you know what I mean? But they get the retweet, and that's what they want.
And you know what? It's funny, too, because it's like the WWF, right? You have to have the bad guys because the good guys have to beat someone. So, you know, the people that are chanting for these bad guys in WWF, not that I've watched it for, you know, all of the 37 years I've been alive or anything, but there's always people that you, like, fake hate. These guys have come up with a niche that has them as the most hated rich kids ever. And God bless them. They're good at their craft. But that being said, can someone please just beat them horribly? The boxing match.
Well, I don't like them. I don't like them off their stuff either. I just think they're just weirdos.
They are. But one last thing.
Yeah.
I gave earlier when I was calling, I was talking about the Flyers.
Sure.
And I mean, you know how, like, you probably grew up, you played one sport, so not that you don't have to play the, oh, good for you. Like, I grew up playing a little bit of hockey, right?
No, I get it.
But that always made it the sport that I would follow. And I always blame the Flyers.
That's why I'm a baseball guy.
Change it up. Do something different, right? Like, don't just go with the Flyers guys. And even in this off season, yes, they made moves. They got rid of guys. You thought they were changing. But if you look at the players they brought in, they weren't really replacing the team with, like, young talent or different kind of players. They still brought in a core of guys that you were like, oh, okay, well, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing you can possibly do to a young goalie is leave him stranded on an island and make him lose his confidence. Because if you do that, he's going to have to go somewhere else to succeed. And if that happens, like it did with Bob, and you know what, honestly, like, I know it's not the exact same situation, but when Bob left, at the time, I was like, well, yeah, I don't know that this is the right move. But if he ends up going somewhere else and succeeding, it's just going to be a testament to what this team can't do, and that's wake up from their own ineptitude and bring in young talent, draft better, not get the Nolan Patricks of the world, and stop hiring former Flyers. Please, God. And by the way, the last thing I'll leave you with, someone, please hurt one of these Paul kids.
Josh, thanks so much for joining us today. Really,
all right, brother.
Really appreciate it.
It's
with,
a great call.
With what he brings up with the change it up, do something different. You know, that mentality, I think, can be brought up to not just this Flyers team, but that's been a long-standing issue that I've had with this team for a while. That can be brought to a lot of things in life. You know, one of the things that I talk about with my dad all the time, and by the way, real quick, before we go any further, shout out to my dad. It's his birthday today.
Uh-huh. Happy birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday to my dad. I know it's late. I
know you can't give his age out. You can't do that.
Yeah, I won't do that. I'm not going to.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm not going to do that to him. But I know it's late. I'm not sure if he's still listening or not. I know he was earlier, but just wanted to give him a birthday shout out.
Can I shout out to my younger brother, Keegan? 22 in exactly 18 minutes.
There you go.
Okay, look at that. Two
so
for
the 13th and the 14th, right? Very nice. I think this can be applied to a lot of things. He and I have this conversation a lot about the Phillies bullpen, because the Phillies continued to, like, trot out guys that stunk, right? And his thought process about the Phillies bullpen always has been, listen, throw somebody else out there, right? Do you remember when they brought up Neftali Feliz? There was no reason.
All too well,
yes. There was no reason for that. But you know why they did it? It was something different. And it still stunk. But at least it was something
different.
You
attempted.
Right. You know, you weren't continually bashing us over the heads with the Justin DeFratises of the world and the Antonio Bastardo's, and my goodness, I'm about to dive into a deep, dark black hole, and I'm going to pull myself out right this moment. So because I don't want to go any further. Can't do that. Because the bullpen's been garbage for 10 years.
Just reach your arm out, and I'll pull you off top.
Yeah, so... But his point about the Flyers, you know, kind of doing the same thing. One of the things I noticed a lot this year, but, you know, a lot over the last couple of years, but this season in particular, they do not have the ability to create opportunities by skating into the offensive zone by themselves. They don't have the ability. They don't have the playmakers to do it. They also do not have the speed to play dump and chase like they so often like to do. So that leaves me with a dilemma and a question, and it's a simple question with a really complex answer. What the heck are they supposed to do in the offensive third of the game? Unless they have sustained attack, right? And I don't even mean on the power play where they're moving the puck around and getting it back to the point and, you know, having guys like JVR stand in front of the net and create opportunities and Cam Atkinson at the post or whatever the case may be. I mean, even in a 5-on-5, if they can't play dump and chase and they can't skate in on their own and create opportunities because they don't have the speed and the athleticism, what are they supposed to do? And the answer I keep coming up with is I have no idea.
Be a crappy hockey team?
Yeah, and that's the problem. And I think that's kind of what Josh was getting at, was that they just keep banging their heads against the wall. Do you know it's not bad? You know it's a good product on the ice, on the hardwood, and on the airwaves? The Leftovers. Here at 11:45 on 97.5 Fanatic, as brought to you by One Tom.
Are we on ice? I didn't think we were.
Can you skate?
Not at all.
Really?
Awful. Yeah, I won't go. My girl, she wants to go every year, and I won't do it because I'm like, I hate this.
I didn't learn until I was about 21 years old because it was the same thing. My now wife, my girlfriend at the time, said, do you want to go ice skating? And I said, sure. Sounds great. You know, and like, especially when you're young in the relationship, you do whatever, like, everything, but you don't say
anything.
Yeah,
you're trying
to
impress her.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I had never skated before. And she took me out
there.
You had
the cone? I was using the cone the whole time.
No, I actually, you know what's funny? I kind of took to it pretty quickly. Not good, but enough.
Oh, good for you.
Anyway, what do you got for us?
So we're going to go from the ice to the hardwood, as you mentioned. Forward Cam Reddish from the Atlanta Hawks was traded to the New York Knicks this afternoon. The trade was Kevin Knox and a 2022 first round picks going from the Knicks to the Hawks. The Hawks sent back Cam Reddish, Solomon Hill, and a 2025 second-round pick. Good for that 13-year-old now. Reddish was the 10th pick in the 2019 NBA draft. He has career highs this year in points, field goal percentage, free throw percentage. He's shooting 38% from three. He was 26% last year. He also has two 30-point games this year. He's an improving player, a player that was on the market. He's going to play with R.J. Barrett, his old Duke teammate. I'm kind of bummed that the Sixers didn't kind of poke their head into this.
Yeah, I tweeted this out this afternoon. I am not somebody that's like, you know how every time a trade happens or a free agent becomes a go make the trade. I'm not that kind of person. But I will say in this particular instance, I think that might be applicable. Because what they gave up, Kevin Knox stinks. I know he was a first-round pick, but Kevin Knox stinks. A first-round pick is not really of all that importance if you're going to be a team that's going to make
especially
the playoffs.
The Sixers, yeah.
Right, like the Knicks are going to, or like the Sixers would. If you're going to tell me you gave up, because who do you compare Kevin Knox to? Like, you giving up George Niang in that situation? Similar?
Like, yeah, I guess.
Right,
I
mean, it's probably Niang in a first-round pick.
And Knox is obviously a little bit younger than Niang.
Right, as well. But my point being, yes, of that kind of skill set, Knox has been underperforming for most of his career.
Like, Niang, give him a first and give him a second down the road, too. Who cares? Like, I don't understand.
In that particular instance, Cam Reddish would make your bench better. I don't know if Cam Reddish starts or not, but I know he makes your second unit better. He can play the two. He can play the three. He's athletic. He can score when you need him to score. He's not a great defender, but I do know that he is improving on every aspect of his game every single year he's been in the league. I think that this is one that the Sixers missed on.
Yeah, and it's what do we say here all the time? The Sixers need to get more athletic, and they need more wing players. What if I told you could get two birds, one stone?
Done
and probably
both.
Not, yeah. Yeah, I'm frustrated. Now, who knows if Morey was even in the conversation, if the Hawks were even in conversations with the Sixers. Just frustrating.
Right,
to
and it doesn't mean that they want George Niang, right?
Sure.
Again, you need two to tango in a trade, but
Kevin Knox.
Yeah, that's the point.
Going over to the NFL, Texans fired their head coach David Culley after just one season in Houston. He's now the sixth head coach to be let go since the end of the 2021 season. Texans went 4-13 under Culley this year. Houston finished 30th in scoring, 27th points allowed, 32nd in rushing, and 31st in rushing yards allowed. Houston's record mimicked its 4-12 mark in 2020. That was Bill O'Brien. I don't understand this one either. Like, what was he supposed to do? The fact that they won four games, I thought they were going to win one or two this year. Like, what was the dude supposed to do?
Can I go on a little bit of a rant here?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you remember all throughout the NFL Roundup show, I said it's quite possible that the Texans win week one and then never win another football game?
Yes.
Often I said that. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here because David Culley got screwed. David Culley was left out to dry by the organization. He was given an organization that had a quarterback who was not going to play because of legal issues. You know who his other two quarterbacks were Tyrod Taylor, who didn't play well this year, and Davis Mills, who at the time was a fifth-round pick and had never made an NFL start. Played better than I expected him to, but it's Davis Mills. I don't know what you want him to do. You traded away the year prior. You traded away the best receiver in franchise history. Yes, he's better than Andre Johnson. For David Johnson and picks, you'd have no weapons around him. You have no cap space because you paid these guys and then traded them. You have no draft picks because you traded them away for Laremy Tunsil and whatever, and you got nothing out of it. You set this guy up for failure, and then when he failed, you went, why didn't you make the playoffs?
Yeah, it's all on you.
It's ridiculous what they did to David Culley. Unfair.
Just the fact, like, the NFL is all about building building for something, building blocks to a better team. It's like the Dolphins firing Flores, which we talked about. At least there was a direction to that team. Texans GM Nick Casario says he had psychological differences with Culley over the long-term direction and vision for our program moving forward.
Do you want to trade? You want to trade more picks, and he didn't want to.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's a terrible move.
Just ridiculous.
And I'm not saying that Culley's like this world-class coach.
No, he's not.
But
Bill Belichick.
The guy got nothing, and the fact that he got four wins was actually almost
something impressive. Yes, correct. And last one, Ty, are we going to have baseball this year?
No, I don't think. I mean, yes, but not to begin.
So Jeff Passan tweets out today, baseball labor update. There is no deal. There was never going to be one today. MLB made a proposal. The reaction among the players was not positive. Few on either side expected it to be. The question is how soon the MLBPA counters. Spring training starting on time is in peril. It was the first time they met since December 2nd. Listen, I got to watch the Phillies every summer. Tell me I don't get baseball, though.
You're going to get baseball, but I've been saying this
on time.
I've been saying this since December and November, and we've done shows on this. I don't think you're going to get baseball till probably June.
I thought you were wrong, and you're looking like you're going to be right.
I think spring training probably will start sometime in May, and the regular season begins in June. You'll have the All-Star break in August this year. These two sides are far apart, and they don't care about coming to an agreement whatsoever. And quite frankly, at this point, I think you're going to lose a lot of fans.
I do. And it's maybe not like from the diehards like me and you. Like, we're older.
No, but the casuals, you will.
Yeah. Like, I have like older generation, my dad's buddies who are like, hey, I was almost out in the strike in 94. If they don't start on time, I am out for good. Because let's face it, baseball is not exactly the most exciting sport in the world.
Correct.
This is a terrible, disastrous situation for the MLB.
Yeah, I agree.
And they don't care.
They don't. And that's the biggest concern for me is because we do. That'll do it for our leftovers, and that'll do it for us here tonight. Big thank you to you for listening and tweeting in and calling the show. Big thank you to you, Tom Alvord, for producing and co-hosting. And, of course, big thanks to Devon Givens for joining us for the pick segment for the wild card round. You'll hear Devon tomorrow with the Draft Line show. I'll be back on Saturday with Tom from 5 until 8. We'll talk to you on Saturday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.